Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
But hey, we are in week two of our First Things First preaching series. And while this is something we can do at any time, there is something about the beginning of a new year. It's a great opportunity to pause, to reset, and to make sure that we have things in order, that we have certain disciplines in place, that our priorities are right, and that our hearts are aligned with what truly matters. And so over the next couple of weeks, there are several things that we are going to be looking at. Some of them will be obvious things, things you would typically look at in a series like this, but a good reminder nonetheless. And so if you were here last week, you would have taken home one of our First Things First cards. And hopefully you remembered to bring it with you today. If you didn't get one, you can literally lift up your hand right now. One of our team is going to get one of these to you. And we'd love you to fill this out. Because at the end of the service, we'll be opening the altar and we'll be inviting you to come forward and our team is going to pray with you. But even if you don't have a card, maybe you left it at home, maybe you didn't have the time to fill it out, that's okay. We're going to still open up this altar and we'd love for you to come either way. Starting the year right means putting God first. Starting the year right means putting God first. Last week, Pastor Al kicked us off, and he so brilliantly pulled apart Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It's important we remember that bit too. And all else and everything else will be added unto you. And if you missed last week's message, I would encourage you to go to our YouTube channel. You can find it there and watch it. And I love Pastor Al's answer to the question, why put God first? I think that's a good place to start. Before we get to the how, we need to answer why. Why put God first? The answer is quite simple, really. It's because God is first. Whether that is a reality in your life or not, He is King. He is Lord. Jesus is the firstborn of all creation. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And if the founder and perfecter of our faith, and if he is the founder and perfecter of our faith, as it says in Hebrews 12, and if God's promise to us is to bring to completion the good work that he started, then it's up to us with what we do in between. Why put God first? Because God is first. And if that's not a reality in your life, there'll be a moment towards the end of this service where you'll have an opportunity to pray a prayer, to invite Jesus into your heart and get right with God. And as you put things in order, our prayer is that you would see the fruit of it in every area of your life, in your walk with the Lord, in your faith, in your family, in your marriage, your relationships, in your health, in your finances, in your career. As you put things in order, our prayer is that you will see the fruit of it in every area of your life. And so what we're going to be looking at today, and what we are, what we're going to put in order today, and what we are going to prioritize, and what I believe is going to be revitalized in your life here today is prayer. Not just the practice of prayer, not just the discipline of prayer, even though it takes discipline. I want you to catch it like the spreading of a wildfire. I'm so thankful for this church. I'm so thankful for Pastor Phil and Chris Pringle. I'm so thankful for Pastor Alex and Jess and Lee. Many prayers have been prayed. Many battles have been fought. Many wells have been dug. And I've learned over many decades of being in this church the importance of prayer, the power of it. I've learned how to pray. And that's not to say it's going to take you decades to catch it, but it is understanding this. Very little, dare I say nothing, of eternal significance is ever accomplished without prayer. Simply put, prayer is talking to God. Billy Graham once said this, prayer is simply a two-way conversation between you and God. And I think that beautifully captures the essence of it. Prayer is talking to God. It's relationship. The Bible says to pray without ceasing. So prayer isn't just something we do. Prayer is something that shapes who we are. And so we're gonna look at Philippians 4 right now. And if you've got your Bible, I'm going to give you a moment to open to it. If you've got the Bible app on your phone, on your device, you can go to it now. To yourself, it'll also be up on the screen behind me. But Philippians 4, verse 6 to 7, it says this. It says, don't worry about anything. It aggravates me how simple the Apostle Paul makes it out to be. Don't worry about anything. Another translation says, be anxious for nothing. Easier said than done, yeah? And then it goes on to say this, instead, pray about everything. From someone who has struggled with anxiety for a lot of my life, from someone who has the tendency to go down the rabbit hole of worry, I want to ask you this. Do you pray about it as much as you worry about it? Is prayer your first response or is prayer your last resort? And I know in some cases and for some people, professional help is required. And I do want to acknowledge that as I say this. But here in the Bible, here in Philippians 4, verse 6, the Apostle Paul gives us the antidote for worry, the antidote for anxiety, and it's prayer. Prayer aligns your heart and sets your mind on things above. When you pray, you turn worry into worship. When you pray, you turn panic into peace. When you pray, you turn sorrow into song. Prayer doesn't always change your circumstance. Prayer doesn't always change your situation right away, but it will always change you. It's like recalibrating a compass. The needle may drift, but prayer brings you back to true north. Before you call a friend, before you Google it, before you ask ChatGPT, have you prayed about it? Pray more, worry less. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Then it goes on to say this. Tell God what you need. And for some of us, this is hard. I know not all of us are parents here, but I want you for a moment to put yourselves in the shoes of one. As a parent, wouldn't you want to know the needs of your children so you can provide for them? That's how our Father in heaven sees us. That's how our Father in heaven sees you. And it's not that God doesn't know your needs till we tell them or till you tell him. But bringing your needs to him correctly positions yourself. Bringing our needs to him correctly positions us. What about unanswered prayer? you ask. I'm sure we can all relate. Prayers we've prayed, things we've believed for, and for whatever reasons, things didn't work out the way we were hoping. And we may never fully understand why. Disappointment is real. But I do want to remind you of this, that God is good, that God loves you, that God is faithful. And the promise of Scripture is not that everything will make sense, but that God is at work in all things for the good of those who love Him. So I want to encourage someone here this morning, keep believing, keep praying, keep worshiping. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. If you don't know where to start, start with thank you. The Bible teaches us this. Psalm 100 and verse 4, it says, enter His gates with thanksgiving, come into His courts with praise. I love how Eugene Peterson puts it in the Message translation. He says, enter with the password, thank you. And the world is catching up on this, or catching on to this. There have been many studies done on the positive effects of practicing gratitude. As Christians, gratitude isn't something we practice. It isn't something we do occasionally. It's something we do continually. And in 1 Thessalonians, it says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. Gratitude keeps your heart soft, your spirit sweet, and your faith strong. Then it says this, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 6:18 says this, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. So there's always a reason to pray, not just in times of need. Prayer underscores our dependence on God. There are different types of prayer. There are many ways to pray. And each of us will have a leaning. But it's important to keep a full quiver ready for every kind of prayer. There is corporate prayer. And we pray together. And we do that on Sunday when we gather. We also, on a fortnightly Wednesday night at 6:30 p.m. on site here, we have a prayer meeting, and we've had a break over Christmas, but it starts up in the next couple of weeks, and I'd love to encourage you to be at that. There is corporate prayer, and then there is a prayer that happens on our own. There are moments where we simply wait on God and maybe say nothing. Prayer can be just as much about silence as it is about using our voice. Yes, we should pray without ceasing, but it's also important that we set aside time each day to pray. And that's going to look different for each of us. I do believe that there is something about praying in the morning before you go about your day, to set your day up, to commit your ways to the Lord. That may not work for everyone's schedule, and that's okay. The point is this, that you're praying. There are prayers of thanksgiving, prayers of gratitude, prayers of repentance. Prayer is where we process grief, loss, hurt. There are prayers of petition. Or when prayer becomes a battlefield, when we engage in spiritual warfare. For those of you who have been a part of this church for a long time, you remember the many years it took to get council permission to build on the very land we are meeting on today. The prayers that were prayed, the petitioning that went on, both spiritually and in the natural, to eventually get that breakthrough to build. In Acts 12, Peter was thrown into prison, not because he had done anything wrong. He was being persecuted. And the Bible says that the church prayed earnestly for him. And as they prayed, and you can read the story for yourself in the Bible, it says an angel of the Lord appeared. A light shone in the prison cell. An angel struck Peter on his side to wake him. And his chains fell off. The prison doors opened. And he walked out a free man. When we pray, things happen. Mark 11, verse 23 says this, "Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them." Let's read that again. "Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they will say will happen, it will be done for them." A lot of you would know this, but about 10 years ago, I had a tumor cut out of my throat, out of my vocal cords. And by tumor, it was nothing cancerous. It wasn't life and death, but it was life and death for my voice. When I woke from surgery, the doctor said to me, "I don't know if you'll ever be able to sing again, and I don't know if your speaking voice will ever be the same either." I was later diagnosed with a neurological voice condition. Long story short, I couldn't speak for many, many months. I didn't sing or preach for almost 3 years. And I remember many mornings, and this was when I could use my voice. I'd lay hold of scripture. I'd speak them over my life. And I'd almost recite the exact same thing, the exact same scriptures every day. And if I'm honest with you, many times it felt like I was going through the motions. I'd speak scripture, but struggled with the faith for it. But what eventually happens when you speak those scriptures enough, they move from your head into your spirit. And what at first felt forced then becomes faith. And after an almost 3-year period, after many, many prayers, after many, many voice therapy sessions, my voice improved. And here we are today. Have you ever been in a situation or have had to journey through something and have not known what to pray? A sign or a gift that comes with being filled with the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. And you can read more about it in your Bible. Here at C3SYD, being a Pentecostal church, we believe that this is a gift we can all access. And you might be here, you might be wondering what speaking in tongues is. It's a heavenly language, a prayer language. Not in English. You don't necessarily understand what you are praying. Everyone speaking in tongues sounds a little different. But it's the Holy Spirit praying in you and through you. It's uttering mysteries in the Spirit, the Bible calls it. And it edifies, it builds up, it strengthens your inner man. When you don't know what to pray, speak in tongues. That's the beauty of this gift. It's the Holy Spirit praying through you. In Luke 11, the disciples say to Jesus, they say, "Lord, teach us to pray." They didn't ask, "Teach us to preach." They didn't ask, "Hey, teach us how to do miracles." They said, "Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray." They recognized what was on Jesus' life. And they could see it came from his intimacy with the Lord. Sam Cameron, is our Northern Beaches worship overseer. He was up here leading worship earlier today and leads the team here at Northern Beaches and has been leading worship in our church for a number of years now, many years now. And I remember a particular weekend. a particular service that Sam was worship leading in. And there was something different about Sam. And I remember after that service, I remember Pastor Phil Pringle, James Edwards, and myself, I remember all of us commenting on it. And it was like overnight. Sam's worship leading went to a whole new level. There was a boldness about him. He'd gone from just singing songs to leading them and ministering through them. And I asked him later that day, I said, Sam, what's going on? What are you doing differently? And I'll never forget it. You know what he said? He said, I've started praying. And two thoughts hit me. The first one being this: if you've only just started praying, how have you been getting through up until now? The second thought was this, and I was reminded of this, that our authority as believers flows out of our intimacy with Jesus. And I have the worship team join us on stage here. Our authority as believers flows out of our intimacy with Jesus. And let's look at one more scripture here this morning. It says this in Acts 4 verse 13. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men. Anyone else relate to that? They were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Prayer isn't just about asking. It's about abiding. You're not performing, you're communing. It's relationship. Don't just pray for things, pray with God.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.